Wake up. It's the Great Reset on Graham Forks' Best Source. Executive Director David Waterman, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition back on the show for the Great Reset here like we do every Tuesday. Show, by the way, brought to you by Alberta Clipper Snow Removal. Are you looking to make some extra money this winter? Well, I tell you what, get a hold of Alberta Clipper Snow Removal. They're looking for equipment operators for snow removal this winter. Chance for you to operate nice, warm equipment, easy to drive. All their work is commercial and big parking lots, all in Grand Forks, or right on the edge anyway. Chance to make good money moving snow without having to get out and use a shovel. Pay will depend on experience. Just call to find out how you can make easy extra money this winter. Alberta Clipper Snow Removal, 701-739-1380. That's 701-739-1380. Call them up now. I know these guys. If you want to find out more, call me. I'll let you know all about them. Alberta Clipper Snow Removal. Speaking of phone calls, call us up. If you got any questions or comments, feel free to text or call our number, 701-213-0863. And, of course, the show is not on Facebook or YouTube. But if you want to listen live, go to gfbestsource.com. Click listen now. It's live. If you want to chat, click the Twitch link in the upper left corner. And we are now on Rumble, too. It's posted on the GFBS Facebook page, all right? Before we get too much further into the show, let's do it. Time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. How many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? How many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? Well, none. Joe Biden just tells him he fixed it, and they sit in the dark and applaud. Easy. There we go. A couple of things I've got to go over, like we do every Great Reset. As of November 24th, VAERS now updated their numbers. 17,640 deaths from the vaccine. I lost my story from yesterday. COVID numbers are up in North Dakota, but not enough to really worry about. Let's see here. Oh, how about this? Do you see that president of El Salvador tweeted this about the United States? He tweeted, "The most powerful country in the world is falling so fast that it makes you rethink what are the real reasons. Something so big and powerful can't be destroyed so quickly unless the enemy comes from within." And that was a tweet from the president of El Salvador. Minnesota conducted head counts to check voting machines. Of course, that came out all good, you know, because the Dems won. So, of course, it's going to be good. Quick fact, last week there were almost 37 million deer hunters running around the United States with guns. Not one mass shooting took place. That is a fact. What? Not one mass shooting took place unless they're shooting deer. And finally, I want to know what happened to the Paul Pelosi story. Everybody's wondering kind of what the heck happened there. Dr. Dan, how are you?
You know, I'm doing better.
Missed
doing
you better last week. Yeah.
You know, I have had some strange, when I get sick, it's always strange now.
Strange because, sickness.
Yeah, because I was out, and I still have. I had a bunch of canker sores in my mouth, so it was like all over the place, mm-hmm. like all over my tongue. Like it was difficult to talk, and then when eating, it's just pain.
That's weird.
And then I bit my cheeks.
Oh yeah, you got to bite them.
Yeah, sure. and so like my mouth has just been horrible for the last 3 weeks.
Eat some salty potato chips.
Anything is just terrible. But then the last time I got sick too, before that was last April or something, and it was also a weird, strange thing that's never happened to me before, where my muscles were like in pain for days. And I thought it was like, after a few days, I thought it was like a very serious issue. You know, I was literally bedridden with muscle pains.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it wasn't like COVID or wasn't flu symptoms. It was just very strange.
Did you have a sore throat with the muscle pains?
Yes, I did. Yep.
It's the same thing that happened to me last summer in August in that fishing tournament.
Okay. Yeah.
I was fine. All of a sudden, I felt like, I had no energy.
Yeah.
And I started to get a sore throat. The next morning, I had no voice, and I felt like I got dropped off a 10-story building.
Yes.
Every muscle in my body hurt. And I was like that for about, the muscle hurts for maybe 2-3 days.
Yeah.
The throat for about a week, but then I got better.
Yeah. And so I talked to some other people, and they had that same experience. I was like, oh, thank goodness. It wasn't just like, because mm-hmm. that's how like MS can kick off or something like that, is you get a really nasty infection of some kind. And then,
sure.
But then what happened to me is it must have been like May or something. Maybe it was early summer or something, but I went and laid in the sun, and like my my symptoms vanished. it was really cool.
And my problem was I was in the sun the entire time. I was out for almost 12 hours straight in a fishing tournament. And, you know, after getting tested twice for COVID, thinking I had it and I didn't, it was just cold. I'm going to chalk that one off to maybe it was COVID. I don't know. Yeah. Done deal.
It might be, you know, vaccine shedding or spreading of weird illnesses that would otherwise be stopped by people's immune system. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? But I'm doing well.
Good. Good to hear you. Good to see you. David Waterman back in the studio. How are you, my friend?
Thank you. I am well. I'm watching the news and saying, hey, this is great. It's all this new stuff coming that we never expected, except we have been talking about it for over a year. So I loved your joke. My neighbor tells me this morning that was, was really good. They're getting better, John. They're definitely
the jokes improved. Or the Democrats.
I wish it was the Democrats. I wish the jokes were getting worse and the Democrats were getting better, but that'd be a nice change.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to start looking up from now on are just Democrat jokes. I don't know how I found this one. It was kind of accidental.
It's so interesting. I went to this seminar about a month ago, and it's the second time I've been to it. It's really good. It's from the Futures of Applied Conservative Leadership, or Foundations, excuse me. I always say Futures. But one of the interesting stats they showed is that before Roe versus Wade, Christians voted like 33% Democrat, 33% Republican, and 33% were like in between, you know? Right. And I understand like Roe versus Wade, you can't really vote for that if you're a Christian or anyone. I mean, you shouldn't vote for that.
A moral person.
Exactly. I understand how it became polarized. But it's what's happened as a result, though, is Republicans candidates just assume they have the Christian vote, so they no longer really cater to Christian ideals. And that's just one of the probably hundred of reasons why rhinos exist.
It's so hard because there's the perception, right? There's the label that they put on the party and on the people that joined that particular party. And then there is the individual who's choosing to put that label on them. And just because these slap a label on themselves does not, you know, I could put on a thing that says police and get a badge and do all that stuff. It doesn't make me a cop.
Sure. Right.
It just doesn't. I mean, in fact, that's against the law.
Yeah.
Right.
Impersonating a police officer.
You're right. I don't think there's a law against impersonating a postal worker. So I don't think there needs to be a law.
Impersonating a Democrat?
No, because nobody would want to impersonate a postal worker.
It's same with a Democrat.
No, I've got friends who are postal workers. And you know what? I love Democrats. I despise communists.
Yes, I agree.
And the sad truth of the matter is, as we've talked before, the communists, the socialists, the Marxists have taken over the Democrat Party. And the number of people that are actually true Democrats that would hold to the democratic ideals are few and far between. It's certainly running. I think that in the base, you know, the people in America, there might be some real Democrats left, but because they tend to be followers. Look at them people. When I see someone in a mask, I say, Democrat.
Yep.
I mean, especially today, right?
Yeah, and we still see them walking around here in the Grand Cities Mall.
Right.
You still see your people wearing masks.
They're liberal Democrats because they are followers. They're not leaders.
Right.
They don't think for themselves. They want to be told what to do.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And there are people
you're
like
right.
that. Yeah. So, in fact, I watched a woman the other day. She walked out of a store. I was in Fargo, and she's walking out, and she's wearing a mask in the parking lot all alone, all by herself. And she's walking. I thought, and there was a Subaru, and I thought, she's going for the Subaru.
Yeah.
I guarantee. And sure enough, that was her car.
You know, that is funny because I think the few people I know that have Subarus are Democrats.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I never put two and two together.
Weird.
Watch their ads. That company actively markets towards liberals.
Yeah, you
they
don't see
actively
them,
market toward liberals.
Right, you don't see them driving Dodges or Chevrolet four-wheel drive pickups.
You won't see them in
a Subaru Outback.
They will not be an NF-150.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
That is something I'm going to have to start looking forward to. You know, Subaru must be a Democrat. Got to be. Right.
Well, I'm going to go buy a Subaru now just to buck the trend.
There are rare exceptions.
So,
but there are exceptions to every rule, right? There are exceptions.
So every Subaru I see now, I flip off. Is that what I'm going to do?
No, because then you'll look like a Democrat.
Yeah, I know. There are certain vehicles I do flip off when I see them.
Mm-hmm. But then you look like...
they belong to a company. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I look like. And I do have to apologize once in a while because I do have some friends that do work for that specific company. But anytime I see any of their vehicles, birds, they're going to get the bird. I don't care.
You just flip me off, John.
Week later, I run into them. You know, I'll be at the drum or something, run into them and say, hey, what did you flip me off for last week? I'm just flipping off your vehicle, dude. Don't worry, it's not you.
John, what did this vehicle do to you?
Yeah.
It's the people that own the vehicles. I'll leave it at that.
What's the first letter in the name of that company?
It starts with not an X or a Y. Is that a good enough hint? Starts with a Z. There we go. Okay. There we go. I'll give a little applause for that one.
So I have actually some good news I kind of wanted to start out
with. Here we go.
About a hero, an absolute hero in Germany, a nurse. And this is on the dailymail.com, anti-vaxxer nurse who injected up to 8,600 elderly patients with saline instead of COVID vaccines walks free from court in Germany.
Yeah. Oh,
praise God for that.
You, champion. Yes, absolutely. She saved lives. She saved many lives. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So
praise God.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's just so great. That's it's one thing for people to be like, oh, I wish I could do something. I want to do something. You know, I don't like this, but then they go along with it. She's in the pressure cooker itself.
No kidding. Right.
Mm-hmm. And is resisting, tricking her bosses and then injecting saline into
to protect her patients.
Yeah. Because she knew. I mean, she knew, obviously. Yeah. She way ahead hero. Of time. She
well,
knew
then, how
what's her, wait, Dan, what's her name?
Aunt. Well, it just has Aunt. I don't, it's German. It's like Antia T. 39-year-old Auntie T. They don't have her last name on here. Ah. So
did she just throw the doses away in the garbage? Because all of a sudden, if you say you've done 1,000 or whatever of these, and all of a sudden, well, how come we got 1,000 of these doses left?
Or maybe she just took a vial and sucked out all the poison and replaced it with saline solution.
Yeah, I mean, dumped and it in the dump, pour it down the sink.
That's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Auntie, awesome. Great. Well done.
Nice job. Yeah. Yes,
and
nice
Germany
job.
Let her off, too. The German court system let her off, so... People are waking up there.
And I wonder how many of those elderly people died from saline. I'm guessing it was zero.
Right. Yeah.
And there's actually a study out too that shows that, like, I mean, we, again, this is like just ad nauseum stuff. We know this, but like the shots are ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
There's new shots, this one is specifically for 65 plus year olds, you know.
And that will come out, Dan. That information will come out. Along with this statement, and we had no idea.
Yeah.
We never knew.
We were on a road trip last week. I think it was Fargo and back. And it was amazing because I had switched through numerous radio stations. And they're all still playing ads about getting the jab. And it's so ridiculous how they keep trying to stuff this crap down our throats. When, again, like looking at the Midwest Public Health Coalition, try to buy a couple of ads saying, you know what, the jab doesn't work. It's stupid. Don't do it. And they say no. Mm-hmm. You know, but I also found out that radio's not doing too good right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the major radio companies in the United States are having issues. So, yeah.
Well, guess what? They're whores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just doing it. But
anyone that takes the money in order to push something as toxic as the COVID vaccine is a whore.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. It's that simple. I don't believe in you know, making outlandish statements, but that's not outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'll pay you money to promote something that's harmful to people, but we'll give you really good money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, sure, money's
you'll
money.
Bend over, take off your... No. Hey, you know what? Hey, you're a whore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's that simple. It's that simple. You'll do anything immoral for money. You're a whore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't talk about this. This was like, I don't know, like maybe 7-8 months ago or something. I saw a YouTube ad that was just evil, but it was for the COVID shots. And it was a train of kids, like, and they all had like autism or mental retardation or something. And they're all on there, like, you know, get the shots. It was just like, this is Disgusting. Wow. What they're doing.
Well, they got the Muppets saying, get the shot now.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder why America is going down the tubes. I mean, this is one of the reasons. We were one of the most overreaching states in terms of COVID restrictions. I mean, not even close to China, obviously. Yeah. But that's the model. That's what the world's going to be doing very soon.
Are you saying North Dakota?
No, America.
The United States.
America. Yeah, yeah. And one thing about America is I got some Between Two Ages by Zbigniew Brzezinski, which I'll be... This is the next Open Secrets. It's coming up, folks. So keep an eye out for that. I'm working on that. But in it, he talks about... this book was 1970. In it, he talks about America at that time was exporting all kinds of things, including culture, big time. We still do.
Yeah, yeah.
But the main thing he pointed out that America was exporting in the 70s was technology. And what did America export technologically during the COVID-19? It was the injections. We were the first ones to just roll it out en masse, right? And then people just went along with it, you know? And so America is... obviously under it's not America anymore, you know. No. it is not, dominated by the global totalitarian system, and America is being used to export the evil technological technocracy that they want the world to be under.
Well, we've been infiltrated. 100 years ago America was infiltrated by communists, and you know why I call them communists. I'm just a simple question. John, do you know why I call them communists?
No.
Because they are communists.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they are.
I'm not name calling. That's what they call themselves.
Right.
Right?
It's like calling me a French Canadian German.
You're a French Canadian German.
Yep.
See, same thing.
Son of a gun.
There you go.
Yep.
So the communists, and this is interesting. I was talking with a friend of mine recently who is in the military, and he said that the Chinese communists and the Russian communists have two different approaches at undermining and destroying America. They both have a plan. Both plans don't involve bullets, bombs, guns, missiles, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Both of them are plans to destroy our society, to weaken us to the point that we're effectively a bunch of cowardly idiots who don't have a clue what's going on, who spend our days attacking each other. Mm-hmm. Okay. Instead of being on guard for an outside enemy. And the Soviet plan, and this has been going on for almost 100 years, their plan is to, they come in and they infiltrate parts of our society where there is conflict. So whether it's male-female conflict, if it's white-black conflict, if it's rich-poor conflict, wherever it is, they come in. They come in as reformers, as problem solvers, as community organizers. That's actually a term. That's the communists came up with that term to help you get in. I'm a community organizer. Here, let me help.
Community organizer.
That's real. And that's, by the way, that's what Barack Obama was before before he ran for Senate. Actually, he didn't run. He was appointed the Senate seat by this woman that was stepping down to run for something else and then became president. He was a community organizer. Look into his background. Then people thought, oh, yeah, he was a good guy, community organizer. That sounds like a good thing. No, it's not. That's a communist euphemism for a destructor, for someone who goes in to create division and cause problems. That's literally what they do. That's right out of the Saul Alinsky playbook. That's who Barack Obama was and still is.
You know, you talk about Barack Obama. Has anybody ever seen a picture of Michelle Obama when she was pregnant?
No. I don't think she got pregnant. That's just my opinion.
I'm just wondering. Well, it's kind of like what happened to the Paul Pelosi story. Anybody ever see Michelle Obama pregnant? I don't.
Mine and Joan Rivers. But that's another deal. So
the old Blue Oyster Cult song. She's risen from the grave.
So the Russian communist approach to attacking and destroying America is to infiltrate, go in as a problem solver, and then make sure the problems never get solved. Make sure that you get the women so riled up at the injustices that so it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter how able women are to do anything they want. It does not matter. They will continue to think that somehow they're oppressed, they're pushed down, they're under the thumb, under the heel of the man. Okay. Because that's what the communists want them to think. And they promote that narrative in very effective ways. They do exactly the same thing in the racial narrative. So we had this tremendous thing that happened in 1964, Civil Rights Act of 1964, where it became illegal to discriminate based on sex, race, country of origin, whatever it was. You couldn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was legal. So that was when we had systemic racism. Now it's illegal. And look at what happened in the 70s. Explosion of black actors, black performers, black entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was phenomenal, and the whole country celebrated.
Yep.
Oh, there were some Democrats who were part of the KKK who didn't like that, because the KKK, of course, is a Democrat, has Democrat origins. They don't want you to know that either. But because they were infiltrated by them. But the point is, the Russian method has been to divide and conquer, to spread division and strife. Now let's look at the Chinese communists. They have a different approach. Their approach, and this is something that I've been observing for years, but I didn't realize that it was really distinctly coming from those two sources with a different philosophy. The Chinese philosophy is to philosophically alter the way that Americans think, to change the way that we view ourselves, the way that we view reality, the way that we view our history, right? To begin to view those things, to view our history and our country in more and more negative ways, and to view communism and Marxist ideology in more and more positive ways. And both of those approaches are a slow process, which makes them extremely dangerous. Mm. Because if somebody came up to you, John, one day and said, you know, your wife hates you, you really should dump her and go with a newer model, you'd go, I mean, I can only imagine what you'd say, right?
Yeah.
But if a person started saying things just slowly, hey, did you notice what she did last? You know, I mean, I know what, anyway, it's not my business. But and little by little, every time they see you.
Tightening the screw, one quarter turn at a time.
Getting you to go, yeah, you know what? I do hate it when she does that.
Yep.
Little by little by little, they can change your mind to really start alienating yourself towards your wife. And that's exactly what the Chinese communists do in America regarding the founding fathers, American history, American ideals, Christianity, moral thought. All of those things are destroyed little by little by introducing a different philosophy than the one that made America great, the Judeo-Christian ethics.
Yeah, to me, that stuff has been happening long before China and Chinese communism was ever a threat. I mean, that stuff was happening. The communist ideals were taking over universities in like the 40s and 50s, you know? And even, what's his name? The defector, Yuri Bezmenov, he even talked about how it was already taking place in the United States, you know, in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are the intellectual saboteurs as well from the Russian style communism. Right. That is a philosophical bent.
But what makes you think that China wasn't doing that in the 70s?
They weren't anywhere near as influential in the 70s and or 60s, certainly 50s and 40s.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, right, because you had Mao Zedong taking over. And when? That was like middle 1900s after World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the Chinese communism wasn't really in vogue. And then so what had to happen, too, is China was taking... Mao Zedong took loans from the international banking. I mean, again, he's their boy. The CCP is an arm of the cabal. And then they were getting loans from us, by the way. We were paying for all of this through the IMF and all these major banking institutions that eventually put China on the map. But that wasn't really until, what, late 90s, you know?
Right, and Dan, I'm not saying that idea came from China, that they're start. I'm just saying that is their, now China's very influential, and that is the method that they're using.
Okay. I mean, certainly, yeah, gotcha. Yep.
Certainly, yep. You know, Antonio Gramsci said that close to 100 years ago.
Right.
He said we must endure the long march through the institutions, and that's exactly what he was talking about. Institutionalizing communist thought, Marxist ideology. And so that was, you know, he was promoting that. So the communists have had these ideas as a whole for a very long time, but they have they've separated in terms of their specialties. And the specialty of the Russian communists is divide and conquer. The specialty of the Chinese, they've chosen to go the route of infiltrating with ideology through our institutions, specifically universities, the media, and the entertainment industry. And so I'm just saying that that's – but I find – so here's the interesting thing. This was a military class that this friend of mine took that was explaining to military officers how these two attacks from communist sources are affecting our country. And I just find it encouraging to know that they know what's you know that they know what's going on. So those are the anyway, those are the two approaches. That's the Chinese approach and the Russian approach. And not either one of those countries necessarily came up with them on their own. But that's those are the tools that they use to attack us. And they're both effective and they're both going on at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a it is the it is a horrifying model, actually, what's coming to our shores here. Because if you look at what they've achieved, stunning.
And, the only, stunning. And how do they achieve it? So here's the question, right? This is the most important question to ask about. How has it been effective? Why was it effective? Why did it work? Why is it still working?
Well, I don't think there's an easy answer to that question.
I do.
I think it's a book.
No, I think it's an easy answer. It worked because we don't see it.
Yeah.
Because we're not aware. We are not on guard against those ideas and those philosophies. We don't recognize it. We just, oh, yeah, oh, that's interesting. Hmm, never thought about it like that before. That's interesting. Yeah, that's the problem. We're not, you know, my grandmother used to say, forewarned is forearmed. We're not forewarned. Not enough Americans know to watch out for that kind of stuff. Once you know it, you can go, when you hear it, nope, wrong. Sorry, that's communist thinking there. That's communist thinking.
Let's let Zbigniew Brzezinski feed off of what David just said right there.
Let's do that.
1970. Zbigniew Brzezinski, for people who don't know, he was one of the shot callers, one of the technocrats, certainly. He was handpicked by the Rockefellers. He was a very bright, man. His child, one of his children is Mika Brzezinski, who's the host of some morning show with Joe Scarborough, right? If I remember correctly. And
solid conservative.
Yeah. Zbigniew Brzezinski was the head of the NSA under Jimmy Carter. He was also in the Trilateral Commission, which is one of these globalist style think tanks. Zbigniew Brzezinski is responsible for helping create the Mujahideen, which the United States used as a proxy to fight proxy wars with the Soviets in Afghanistan. The Mujahideen became Al-Qaeda and ISIS, by the way. Just no big deal, though. But here we go. This is just one paragraph that's going to feed off of what David said. And this is about kind of our perception of reality, us not seeing what David's talking about here. Life seems to lack cohesion. And he's talking about life in the technotronic age. Now, the premise of Between Two Ages is that if you think about what man lived like before the Industrial Revolution, and if you think about where we are now today and then where we're headed, we're essentially between two ages. We're between this old form of human life and then some other age that's going to last for thousands of years. That's what he's saying. And that the other thing that's going to last for thousands of years is not going to be good for us. So, but here's what life, he's describing life in essentially what's our reality now.
This is 1970.
He wrote this book in 1970.
Yeah.
Well, published in 1970. Life seems to lack cohesion as environment rapidly alters and human beings become increasingly manipulable and malleable. Everything seems more transitory and temporary. External reality more fluid than solid. The human being more synthetic than authentic. Again, that to me is... beautiful, because it's exactly it.
Beautiful description of today.
Right, exactly. Well, he's creating this reality. Even our senses perceive an entirely novel reality, one of our own making. Again, here I quote our. He's not talking about yours and my creating. He's talking about his people's creation.
Right.
So even our senses perceive an entirely novel reality, one of our own making, but nevertheless, in terms of our sensations, quite real. Again, you... the things that you perceive, we talked about this in the Open Secrets episode on culture industry. the more and more you watch television, movies, things like that, the more it's called the aestheticization of reality. The stuff you see on television, you tend to project onto the real world, and it actually influences the material reality. It's fascinating. More important, there is already widespread concern about the possibility of biological and chemical tampering with what has until now been considered the immutable essence of man. Human conduct, some argue, can be predetermined and subject to deliberate control. So, David's saying, we don't see the slow incremental changes that are actually happening quite rapidly, especially after the advent of COVID-19, yes. Because the people who are manipulating our reality, creating our reality, manipulating our perceptions, are brilliant, and they have all the money in the world at their disposal and all the technology in the world at their disposal. You know, so it is. We must wake up to stop what's happening. We must wake up.
A great title,
for
today's show. So yeah. You know, can I give a brief personal example of,
sure.
of how this kind of might play out? Shortly after my wife and I were married, we met an elderly lady who was single, and she was a piano teacher, and we both really liked her. She was a real character from Germany, and every once in a while she'd make some comment about how, you know, men are whatever, you know, stupid or whatever, and we'd laugh. But over time, I began to realize that she loved spending time with my wife. You know, they go to lunch together and spend time together. And I noticed that my wife's attitude toward me would generally be more negative after she'd spent time with this woman. I'll call her Liz. And then when we were together, I'd hear her sometimes make comments. Negative comments, either about me, supposedly as a joke, or men in general. Mm-hmm. And I said, finally, to my wife, I thought, wow, I said, you know what? I don't think this is a healthy friendship, because she's actually undermining our relationship mm-hmm. by the things that she says about me. And they're very subtle. And so she said, really? I don't think so. But then she started paying attention, and she started noticing that that's exactly what this old woman mm-hmm. who we thought was so cute was doing. And she eventually just went to her and said, hey, yeah, I can't be friends with you anymore. It can happen even on a interpersonal level, where somebody is continually undermining. But once you notice it, because my wife hadn't recognized it until I pointed it out to her, mm-hmm. once she started watching for it, she was able to see it easily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was very, very, very easy mm-hmm. to spot. That's why we need to wake up yeah. as a country.
And sure. if you're plopping your children in front of the television,
you're not waking
that
up.
That is the environment you're exposing them to. Is right. that the subtle digs, like literally thousands? If from the time you're 5 years old to 18, whenever you start watching, maybe even before then, television, it's literally thousands of just jabs at truth over and goodness and,
right.
And virtue, you know, yep. over and over again, yep. nonstop.
And you can see it in the media. I like just to take you've heard of the TV show Bull.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's on
yep.
CBS.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an entertaining show. Mm-hmm. The premise is really
I liked them better on CSI, but yeah, I like Bull.
Okay, yeah, so it's trial science, right? Mm-hmm. Jason Bull is a trial scientist, mm-hmm. and he examines and analyzes the way that juries think about
yep.
things, and then he creates reads a mock and, jury, yep. and then he can kind of read what's going mm-hmm. on in the actual courtroom so that he can advise the
lawyers.
The lawyers, yep. how to respond or whatever. And so it's very, and it's based on the work that Dr. Phil McGraw used to do, because that was actually, it's based on Dr. Oh. Phil's life as a trial science
yep.
Guy before he became Dr. Phil and had his own TV show.
Dr. Phil.
So anyway, we like watching. We watch it online. But it's very interesting that this very subtle, you know, every once in a while somebody says something about, yeah, when you live in a country that's got, you know, 20 billion guns, how do you feel safe when you move into a new neighborhood or something? And you go, oh, just little things like that. They don't harp on it. They just make these little offhanded mm-hmm. comments, anti-gun comments.
Yep. Well,
it's more powerful if the person doesn't realize that that was that little comment is going to kind of go into their brain and go,
mm-hmm.
Right? If it's obvious, guns are terrible. They're stupid. We should ban all guns. A lot of people are going to, oh, wait a minute. I don't know. I think that's too extreme. But when you can say, yeah, when you live in a, you know, when there are 255 billion guns in the country, what do you expect, you know, after someone mm-hmm. gets shot?
Well, it's like I said at the top of the show, almost 37 million deer hunters running around last week with guns in the United States, and there was not one mass shooting. 37 million guys with guns at one time.
Yep.
Not that there's 50 billion guns in the United States or whatever. These guys were all out at one time. 37 million of us.
You know, I've got a friend that had an AR-15, and one day the AR just jumped off the shelf and shot him right in the chest.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah. That's what those guns do. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do. We got to take a little break here. Wake up. It is the Great Reset. Dr. Dan and David with the Midwest Public Health Coalition are here. You know, there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. Head on over to Over Heaven's Cakes. That's where they come in. Best cupcakes and cakes. Doesn't matter, special occasion or just a treat. You can order them, or you can just walk in to find out more, all right? Hey, you know what? If you're a business owner, check out their monthly employee discounts. Treat your employees to a little something good, all right? They are on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. You can call them 701-757-CAKE. Or go to OverHeavensCakes at yahoo.com. And by the way, if you're looking for a cake job, Over Heaven's Cakes is hiring. And it's not too early to think about graduation cakes either. Hey, be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Over Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. And before we get back to the Great Reset, let's hear a little bit from Executive Properties.
Team of professionals at Executive Properties Construction have over 30 years of experience. We pride ourselves on doing quality work at a reasonable rate for our customers. Just check out what past customers have said in our amazing Google reviews. Then contact us today to get started on a bid for your next project. You can call us at 701-330-1273 or email info@executiveproperties.org. And check it out. We're hiring. We're building our new team for snow removal for this upcoming season. Contact Jess for more info at jess@executiveproperties.org.
And we are back on the Great Reset. Wake up with Executive Director David Waterman and Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Where did we leave off, gentlemen? I had to get those ads in.
Well, the main thing I wanted to talk about today, I guess, was the G20. I kind of glanced over it a few weeks ago, but the G20, the group of 20, it's 20, but I think it's actually 19 that actually met. But the 20 biggest economic nations in the world meet, and then they decide what they're going to be doing the next mm-hmm. year. You know, at this last one, you had a lot, and the White House put out a statement they fully support everything that's going on here, but it was essentially talking about how they're going to start treating personal data and how personal data is going to be bandied around into whoever, you know, whatever highest bidder stuff, which will be our enemies. And then also certainly digital COVID-19 certificates. They're saying they want to roll out a digital passport, essentially. Then if you want to travel anywhere, you need to have a thing on your phone that says that you've had the shots. So that, and they're going to try to make this an international effort as well. So this is it's just everything about this is horrifying. And we don't have to take it, you know. It's going to come quickly. Also, the framework for this is being built. I would say it's basically ready to start. And this gets into crypto and money, because also one of the reasons that America is tanking is because international use of the U.S. dollar is being stopped. The BRICS coalition, it's BRICS, Shanghai Cooperation, it's BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And I know Saudi Arabia, by the way, Saudi Arabia has now joined BRICS. Saudi Arabia, the oil guys, right? Petrodollar, remember that thing? Yeah, that's going the way of the dodo. But so BRICS, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and the Eurasian Economic Union are all getting rid of use of the U.S. dollar for international trade. So the U.S. dollar will no longer be the reserve currency.
Which will not be good for us.
No, it will be really bad. It will be
incredibly destructive for our economy.
So I would suggest not holding U.S. dollars as much as you possibly can. First of all, you should have some cash on hand. Always have cash on hand just in case things stop now, you know. And then some places will still take cash. I actually was at a store a couple weeks ago that didn't take cash any longer, which I think is illegal, right?
It has to be illegal, right?
Yeah.
Because what does a dollar bill say?
It says it's legal tender. Yeah, which you're means right. You must accept it.
Yeah, otherwise you're paying more. Somebody's paying more because it costs to have credit card machines.
Yes.
I mean, you get charged a percentage.
Yep.
You know, that's ridiculous.
Yep. So, but the BRICS, the SCO, and the EAU together represent like 51, 52% of the world's economy. And so that's 50 plus little over 50% of the world's economy saying no more US dollar use. That would be devastating for us. So, but if you put your money in like commodities and that type of thing, I think you'll do well as the dollar crashes because the relative value of commodities versus the dollar will certainly increase. But this is really, really bad news. And the reason I'm talking about this along with the digital vaccine passport stuff is because it's all going to be a part of your digital identity on your digital wallet. It's all going to be there on one single framework. And if I were a betting man, I would bet very heavily that that is what the BRICS establishment is going to be rolling out. Now, if you consider what's been happening the last year and a half, you have, I think this 2022, last I checked, it was 21.8 million excess deaths, non-COVID excess deaths. So that's a world war worth of deaths right there.
Yep.
The
unexpected deaths.
Unexpected deaths,
not
right.
Just normal deaths.
Yeah, and you can watch, I mean, like Bertrand Russell, I mentioned him, you know, frequently too, because he was like Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's one of these philosophers who helped create the philosophical groundwork of the New World Order that they wanted to bring into place. But Bertrand Russell was a very evil man. And when he was a young man, he was already quite influential as like a 19-year-old, but they have letters, correspondence with him after World War I lamenting that the World War didn't kill enough people. So they needed to, you know, get new means of reducing human population, because these guys are all eugenicists exclusively. Now you have, the part I didn't mention in this little paragraph I read is that they were going to unveil things that can change the essence of what it means to be human. They already had that. Tune into this episode, but they were already talking about ways that they could chemically make humans lose their free will through chemistry. Mm-hmm. Now they have COVID shots, which literally change your DNA. And it is killing people en masse. Mm-hmm. Dr. David Martin thinks that it might be killing everyone that took it, you know, which would be billions of people, which is horrible, horrible. You know,
we're all safe.
Yeah, here's in reference to that, this is from the, I think this is the current issue of the Epoch Times, just briefly, November 30th to December 6th. Yeah. Prime age mortality remains elevated even as COVID-19 fades. Mm-hmm. Prime age mortality, in other words, people from between the ages of, 18 to 49 are dying at a much higher rate than normal, even though COVID-19 cases, as you've pointed out on the show multiple times, are falling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their excuse. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my point I'm making here is they have a way of surreptitiously, I mean secretly, killing people en masse. Again, people don't perceive it,
right?
Because we're tuned into the boob tube, you know. Mm-hmm. So we don't perceive the actual reality. We perceive a false reality, a matrix, if you will. You have U.S. dollar being tanked, the ascendancy of the central bank digital currency system, which everyone will be forced to use. Once one major banking institution starts to use the CBDCs, and especially for cross-border payment structures, they're all going to fall. It's going to happen very quickly, because it is technically, I mean, the technology is morally neutral, and it is actually much more efficient. And it saves you lots of money. Mm-hmm. So once one of these major central banks issues CBDCs and says, hey, look how efficient this is, how much money we're saving, dominoes fall. And then once all these major banks start doing this, us little peons have to start doing it, because they're going to say, oh, those old U.S. dollars, no good anymore.
And we'll give you a certain amount of time to trade them in for digital credits.
Yeah, there is a man, I forget his name, it's the first time I've seen him. I saw an interview with him, though. He was he's an older gentleman and has been in finance in his career, is very wealthy. but is against the CBDC system. And he said what he thinks they're going to do is it's going to be us people who are not rich are going to get, you know, whatever's in our bank account is going to be converted one-to-one. And then he say they might give you, you know, 3,000, 5,000 extra digital bucks. Be like, hey, here you go. But rich people that aren't like the rich, not ultra rich, not elite rich.
Yeah.
They're not going to get traded. They're not going to get turned converted at all, actually, is what he thinks. And to bring them down, again, to bring them down a peg, the $1 million in your bank account. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, so they're going to make rich and poor
the same.
A chasm between them is going to be massive.
Yeah,
right. So they've already so starting with Obama, and people recognize this even when he was president. That the and by the way, I think that election was most likely stolen, but that's a whole other issue. At least the second one, that his goal was to destroy the middle class. Mm-hmm. And we saw the watering down, the dwindling down of the middle class beginning in his administration. It continued through his second administration. President Trump came in, and the middle class began to grow again, even in that short period of time that he was president. And now it's being attacked again because you have to have rich and poor with no one in between.
Yes,
you know, it used to be that our country ran on a 10-year cycle for people coming into this country. From other countries, no education, not able to speak the language, no money, and they are the poor. They are the lower class. I'm talking not when I'm talking class, I'm talking economic class.
Sure. Okay? Right. Right.
They were the poor people in America. And then they would go to work. People came over from Asian countries and they'd dig in the garbage cans of grocery stores and pick out the fruit that vegetables that got thrown away that they weren't rot. I mean, they were still good. They were just kind of on the edge.
Yep.
And they'd set up their own little fruit stand and sell that stuff cheap, right? Cost them nothing. This is America. It's just someone else threw it out.
Yep.
They weren't stealing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd sell it cheap on their little box that they'd stick up in the alley. And little by little, they'd begin to make money for themselves and their family. And they keep doing it. And then at some point, they can actually start buying produce and selling it. And within 10 years... they have Lee Chin's grocery store on the corner.
Right.
And they have an actual store. And now they've gone from the lower class to the middle class. And if they continue to work, because that's the thing that made America special. If you came to America and you worked hard, you could get ahead. That's
sure.
what's made
right.
us special for 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that people from all over the world wanted to come here.
Right.
Because where they were... they could work as hard as they want. In fact, they worked hard all the time and never got ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It was impossible to get ahead because they were pushed down by their own governments and the system that they lived under. Come to America, and that hard work frees you from the bondage of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they did that. And so there are hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of tens of thousands. Hundreds of thousands of rags to riches stories in America.
Oh, for sure.
We pulled more people out of poverty in America through our free market economy and constitutional rights and freedoms.
Come work hard, you can do it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're taking that away. And so that's what created the middle class. Now they're destroying the middle class. And guess what? It won't be possible to go from rags to ultra riches.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bridge too far. That's a gap that's just too hard for anybody to jump.
Yep.
And so then you'll just have the ultra rich, as Dan was talking about, and the ultra poor.
Right.
And they want us to join the ranks of the ultra rich.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, the ultra poor.
By the way, we want to give a shout out to Sherwin. We aren't ignoring you, buddy.
That's actually why I jumped on, because I wanted to let anybody that we encourage you to watch on Rumble. But if you want to interact in the conversations, I would say go to gfbestsource.com.
Mm-hmm. Then we can at least...
and click on the Twitch link and comment in Twitch, because then it'll show up on our feed. But for some reason, Rumble, we only get it in email form. Mm. So if anybody wants to interact on the show, I would tell you to go to Twitch.
And, yeah.
Did he comment something?
He's been commenting all kinds of stuff.
But I can't see any.
Yeah, it doesn't show up there because on Rumble, I only get it in... through email.
Yeah, so I didn't know either.
Gotcha.
So what you do is you just go to gfbestsource.com, click listen now, and then if you want to chat with us, like Sherwin's doing, click the Twitch link in the upper left corner, and there you go.
Yep, and then you can start commenting, and then and it'll show up on our feed, or, you know, if you're, what other ones are...
What other ones do we get?
Well, we also Rumble.
Well, no, we're not. GFBS, we're not on YouTube.
Facebook page. Yeah, yeah, we're not on YouTube.
Yeah, or, just do the Twitch thing. We'll keep it simple.
So, there you go, Sherwin. Well, we're not ignoring you.
Yeah, the MPHC Facebook page as well, I believe, would come up there.
Oh, right? Oh sure.
Yeah, that's right.
MPHC. Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yep, if you're on the MPHC.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah, we are on Facebook for MPHC. Just,
yeah, MPHC.
You guys can be on, but we can't.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I keep wondering that, too.
Yeah.
Same with Common Sense Uncensored.
Yeah. Hey, did one of the local newscasts get banned for a month, too? I believe.
Really?
I think so. Oh, I think so.
What did they do?
When's the last time you saw anything from them on Facebook? You know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
Well, you can
say it. Been a long time.
You can say it.
iNews.
Yeah.
I heard something, but maybe.
Maybe it's just because of shitty reporting.
So back to what I was saying here, they're going to massively incentivize this new dollar system, and then, but it's not just really because they're going to have more coercive capacity for this than they certainly did with the COVID shots, because it's going to be, you can't buy or sell, buy groceries without using the new system. But then they're going to, according to this man, they're going to give the $3,000, $5,000, whatever it is, dollars to us peons, so that then there's really no hard feelings at all. It's like, oh yeah, sure, I can hop onto this, my one wallet with the Federal Reserve and you know, through my phone app, and then that's just how I work now because I got $7,000 more in my bank account now.
You know, I think that they're going to take a carrot and stick approach, though. I really do. Carrot and stick.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the carrot.
Dangle.
Right.
Yeah, dangle. You enjoy free money if you switch over to our system. Yep. But there are going to be a ton of people who are not going to voluntarily do that. They're just not. They're going to say, no, I like cash. I do everything with cash, and I'm going to keep my cash. There's going to be a lot of resistance. So there's got to be a stick approach. And so
it's like a TV commercial with an older gentleman and a fishing rod where he's got a dollar bill hanging on it. And, oh, you almost got it. Nope. You're so close, but nope.
So, right. So what's the stick? See, I save this stuff for the end, for the people that think that they might as well just tune out because it's already been almost an hour, so they're just going to... No, you hang on to the end of the show, and you get a little
That's
bonus.
That's where the A-game comes out, right?
That's when the A-game comes out, exactly. So Dan laid out the carrot approach. Here's the... You know, what was I talking about? I mean, I talked about this specifically 6 months ago. Remember I talked about how they're going to use the... Everyone's going to be assigned a carbon footprint, and they're going to use your carbon footprint to manipulate you and prevent you from buying stuff. They're going to tie that in.
A couple of weeks ago, I think you brought it up again.
I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago again, but I've been talking about it for
long
time.
Maybe
it's longer than 6 months. Anyway, so here's the, this is the November 30th to December 6th. I'm just saying the MPHC, and I'm proud of our work and the people that work so hard in Midwest Public Health Coalition, because we're on the cutting edge of what's going on and have been for 3 years.
Sure.
We talk about things that are happening long before anybody else. I mean, look, here's FDA trying to rewrite history on prohibiting ivermectin. That's according to Dr. Scott Atlas. By the way, this guy, Dr. Scott Atlas, he was one of the ones that President Trump appointed for Operation Warp Speed. Mm-hmm. He's one of the ones that rushed the COVID shot to market and was so proud of it. And later... completely repented from his position and said that was a big mistake.
Garbage.
We need to pull that. It's garbage. Mm-hmm. It's killing people. It's wounding. It's injuring people. We need to pull it. Dr. Atlas, by the way, is not a Christian. In fact, he's an atheist, but he still believes in America, you know, decency and not killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Epic Times, November 30th, December 6th. Personal finance. New Visa card features personal carbon emissions tracker. This is the stick. This is the stick. I'll show you how it's
going. We have a brand new Visa card right now.
But I think they're starting this in Canada. I don't know if it's internationally yet. But the monitoring of personal behavior by banks will take another step forward as Canadian Credit Union... the Canadian Credit Union Vancity launches a new credit card technology to report users' carbon emissions. On October 19th, Vancity announced that it will be the first financial institution. Sorry. The first first financial institution in Canada to offer its individual and business members a way to estimate the CO2 emissions that come from their purchases. So it's going to go like this. Hey, you know what? We've got a new feature for you on your card. You can monitor your carbon emissions. What do you mean? I didn't think I was emitting. Well, yeah, every time you exhale, you're emitting. But you mean I'm emitting in other ways by my purchases? Yes. The things you buy, this has a certain carbon footprint. So does this. And now you can monitor it so you can help save the planet.
And don't ever pass gas.
Another, yeah. So they'll probably come up with a way of tracking that carbon emission, but they don't have it yet. They don't really care about that, actually.
All that would they be care fun, about, though. All they care about. You could see.
But you know what? If you wear a mask under your undergarments, that will stop it.
Oh, sure.
Just like it stops COVID-19. You need to get them with the really big ear loops. Big ear loops. So one on each leg, and that'll stop the gas. Oh, yeah. Just like it stops COVID.
Oh, the visual in my mind right now.
So Vancity said that its carbon counter, which is attached to Visa credit cards, was developed with Ecolytic, one of Europe's leading climate engagement technology companies. You know, the euphemisms flow like water from these communists and globalists. It's just amazing. Climate engagement technology. Isn't that wonderful? That just sounds so good, doesn't it? It just has gives you kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, doesn't it? Just hearing that phrase, just worry, leading climate engagement technology company. We're engaging with the climate.
Yeah, engaging.
This will be the first carbon counter program for Visa holders. MasterCard already provides a CO2 emissions tracking card developed with technology from the Swedish company Dachonomy. You know, 3 years ago, I would have thought this is like a screenplay for new horror movie coming out of Hollywood. But no, this is for real. The Visa credit card technology developed by Ecolytic also provides education and behavioral nudging. Education and behavioral nudging. So the card users aren't only informed about the CO2 emissions of their buying activity, but also told how to reduce them. Turn these lights out right now. This is destroying the planet. Because those are carbon emissions that are going on right there. Oh, no, I forgot. That's electricity.
We have a pyramid machine. It'll take care of it.
That's right. Electricity doesn't cause carbon emissions. Just evil things like burning fossil fuels like coal and petroleum.
Mm-hmm. And passing gas.
And right. And, of course, we don't get... I mean, electricity doesn't come from burning fossil fuels. We all know that.
I look forward to the day when I let one rip accidentally and my phone just starts... passed your limit.
Or you see a cloud come over you, so then that way everybody in the neighborhood could go, Dan, did you fart?
So I just want to ask, I'll just stop here for a second. Why, John, maybe you can tell me. Dan, you can tell me. Why do they keep those coal power plants running anyway? I mean, who runs on coal anyway? We don't.
Well,
how
are you going to recharge all these electric cars?
Well, use electricity.
How do you get electricity?
Just from the electrical plant. How do you think? What a stupid question.
I can't wait for the day when you call 911 and say my house is on fire. I need a fire department here quick. And they say, well, you're going to have to wait because all our fire trucks are being recharged right now. You know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I saw. I don't know too much about. I guess to create these electric vehicle batteries and everything, they actually have to do like mining in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it completely destroys the habitat or whatever from the seabed floor, because it just for miles and miles it just wipes away everything. So if they're talking about we're trying to save the environment, they're totally full of crap.
I mean it's totally full of crap.
It's wiping on a whole ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Paul, I'll take off my sarcastic mocking hat now and just respond reasonably to that. When Elon Musk first came out with the first Tesla, I said, "Man, I want one of those cars." And then when they came out with the sedan, I said, "Yep, just a matter of one of these days I'm going to buy an electric car." But since looking at the economic devastation that is caused by the production of these batteries, what's necessary to produce these batteries. I said, forget it.
Yeah.
They're the most ecologically disastrous technologies that we have. I mean, I'm going to drive my F-150 until they put me in prison, until they come and take it away, or until I just can't buy gas for it.
Isn't it kind of like robbing from Peter to pay Paul?
No, it's worse than that.
Okay.
It's robbing from Peter and not paying Paul.
Because
it doesn't do anything. It doesn't benefit at all.
Because what
it takes to create those batteries. Look, I'm a video producer, right, in my mm-hmm. private life, my real job. And we use lithium ion technology on our battery. I mean, we have, because that's the battery technology mm-hmm. that's replaced, what are the ones we used to use?
Generators?
No.
You wind it?
The crank on the side of the camera, yeah. What do we use? Did it start with an A?
Alkalide?
No, it was the ones that they have this terrible memory if you don't recharge them all the way. And you use them halfway. Anyway, whatever they were. That's the new technology.
Hmm.
And so we use those. But we don't – I don't need a ton of them to power my cameras. Just, 20 pounds worth of batteries will work for us. And not every household has those, except maybe a little tiny one in the back of their camcorder. But we're talking about a scale to produce – to replace all the gas-powered vehicles with electric vehicles – the scale of environmental destruction to produce that many batteries, not to mention what you do with them once they're depleted, once they can't be recharged, once you've got to get rid of them or replace them. What are you going to do with all of those lithium ion batteries? Where do you get rid of them? We're going to shoot them up to the sun in a SpaceX vehicle? I mean, that we're talking. You're exactly right. The child labor and the things that they're doing to children to mine the elements mm-hmm. necessary to produce these batteries in this kind of quantity is hideous. It is truly hideous, and we can go into detail on that on another show. But
you know,
Paul, you're exactly right.
Yeah, you know why I won't get rid of my 2016 Ram? Because it doesn't have that stupid auto shut off crap when you come to a stop sign.
Oh God, I hate that. I hate that.
What? The new ones shut off?
If you stop, your car shuts off. And then once you hit the gas again, they fire up and you go. First time that I was, I didn't know what the hell was going on because I was in Europe. This was a couple of years ago and we rented a car and I'd pull up to the stop light and the car would shut off. It's like, oh crap, what do I do now? And hit the gas and boom, and they go.
I found out with our old pilot that all, because every time he came to a stop, the engine would shut off. And I found out that all I had to do was just take the steering wheel and just turn it a little bit, and it would fire right back up again.
So I always thought that starting an engine required more gas than just letting it idle.
I thought so too, and not to mention it's harder on starters. It's harder on everything.
Harder on everything.
Yeah, but that saves fuel. That's what they're saying.
I don't think it does save fuel. I don't think it does.
Well, it doesn't say it's supposed to be the carbon emissions.
Yeah. So your car's not running the whole time you're at a stoplight.
Has anybody noticed that when you first start your car, what comes out of the tailpipe?
Oh, yeah. So.
Big puff of not properly burned
fuel.
Fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're right. Yep.
Come on. These guys. So they think we're stupid, though. According to Ecolytic, quote, the financial industry, listen to this. The financial industry will play a major role in fighting climate change, end quote. Just let that sink in for a minute here as we get ready to wrap up the show.
Right.
The financial, I'll read it again. According to Ecolytic, the financial industry will play a major role in fighting climate change, end quote. And here's another quote. Our sustainability as a service solution enables financial institutions to offer their customers environmental footprinting as well as personalized impact offsetting and ESG investments, end quote. Folks, this is what we've been saying for 6 months or more. It is coming, and here it's in print. They're quoting. It's like they've been watching The Great Reset and saying, hey, yeah, he's right. Hey, that's a good idea. No. We've been seeing what they're doing and what's coming, and this is why we have to wake up, put our radar on, open our eyes and ears, and say, sorry, no, sir, I'm not doing that. Maybe the next show we'll talk about how you can get their new companies. There are a few of them. This is a startup industry. Right now, when you buy something online using your MasterCard, Visa card, whatever card you use, whatever you buy, it doesn't matter. They know, somebody knows
sure.
that you bought that thing, and you can't hide it from them because you're buying online using a credit card. There's a new company now, and I can't remember the name of it. I just signed up, actually. Actually, I think it's called Blur. It was a different name, and now that it's called Blur. And you can, and what they do is they allow you to buy things online anonymously. So whether you buy it from Amazon, whether you buy it from Toyota, or whoever you're buying it from, they create a one-time use credit card. So you put the money in, you know what you want to buy, you know what it's going to cost, and they create a credit card for you for that one purchase, and it is not connected to you. The company, no. The company eliminates your name.
They give you a piece of plastic that's got that money on it. It doesn't matter where it came from.
It's virtual plastic, right?
Sure.
Because what you actually do is you, whatever the whoever you're buying it from, whether it's Amazon or we'll just, and I don't want to say mm-hmm. Amazon, pick another vendor, B&H. Let's say sure. it's B&H Photo in New York, okay? And so I'll put in their URL. You add that to the company where you're getting this fake credit card. You upload the money to the company from your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Then they create a credit card with that amount of money in it that only works at that URL.
Sure.
So nobody can grab it and use it somewhere else. You make the purchase, and all B&H knows is that it came from this credit card company, but there's no personal identifying mm-hmm. data on it.
Wow.
And I think that that's a great Absolutely. Tool going forward because now they can't track our carbon usage. It doesn't matter what we buy. You can hide the fact that you purchased that thing. So they'll probably try to make those companies illegal. But for now, you right. can use them.
So. Before we close, I did want to say this. When the Great Reset started, how long ago here on GFBS? Over I mean, two, we've been doing this for
two,
a long
two,
time.
Two plus years ago.
You know how many times I heard that show is stupid? It doesn't make any sense. It's full of crap. You guys are a bunch of nut jobs. Blah, 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 blah. We kept telling you, you wait and see. 2 years later, now we are... We told you so. We told you so. What have we been telling you for how long? And I don't hear one. You guys are a bunch of nutcases. I don't hear that anymore. People, wake up. This is what we have been telling you. This is what the Midwest Public Health Coalition has been telling you. This is what we've been telling you on the Great Reset. I think it's time you tune in next Tuesday. If you don't watch it, tell your friends. Say, hey, look, you know what? I've been watching these guys. I've been following these guys now for a couple of years. They got it going on. They know what's happening. Gentlemen.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that very much. And really, I do encourage everyone who watches the show to share it. And, I mean, you say that, like, share, mm-hmm. tag.
Yep.
But really, you have to do that because the fact of the matter is I'm getting, you know, when I was a kid, I thought it'd be so cool to be able to know what's going to happen, to be able to tell the future. I don't anymore. Yep. I don't think it's cool. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy making predictions and saying, here's what's coming mm-hmm. down the pike. And then a year later, we see it coming down the pike. It's actually happening.
Right.
I don't enjoy that because none of these are good things. We're not talking about pleasant things that are going to make our mm-hmm. country better, make our nation better, make families stronger. Those are the things we're talking about. We're talking about the destruction of our country, our economy, and our lifestyle.
Yep.
And I don't want that.
No.
I really don't.
And I get it. Not everybody has an hour sometime at 11 o'clock every day to watch the show. But that's the beauty of a podcast. You can get home from work tonight. You can eat your supper. You can crack yourself a cold beer. You can sit down and you can watch it. All right. It's just too bad we don't get the people, you know, as many people being able to chirp in and reply to us. But hey, that's the thing about podcasts. You can watch it anytime you want.
Mm-hmm. But it's a weekly show. I mean, it's like yep. the Epic Times comes out once a week.
Sure.
It's not every day. So it's not like it's an hour a week. Come
yep.
on.
Yep. Yep.
Share it. The people you know don't have an hour a week to put on the podcast mm-hmm. and listen to it while they're doing, you know, cleaning up, getting ready for their next Super Bowl party or whatever. Whatever.
The Super Bowl.
Gentlemen, thank you very much again for coming in.
Thank you, John.
Looking
thank
forward you. Again to next Tuesday. Can't wait. There you go. John. Wake up. The Great Reset. And thank you to Executive Director David Waterman and Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. These guys are always bringing their A-game here every single Tuesday. And a big shout-out to LifeVantage for bringing you The Great Reset today. Hey, if you take collagen, have you heard about this one-of-a-kind collagen? Not only replenishes your body, but helps your body create its own collagen using natural products and maintains it. Now, if you'd like to find out more about this amazing product, contact Stephanie Krenelka and Life Vantage. For more information, all right, check out stephk.lifevantage.com or text 701-230-9306, or you can email skbesthealth@gmail.com or click the link on the gfbestsource.com page, all right? That'll bring you directly to Life Vantage. Biohack your life, all right? Do it with Life Vantage. What do we got tomorrow? We're going to talk with Lynn Roach about this new Santa Village in Grand Forks. It's going to be pretty cool. We had a little teaser a couple of weeks ago with Lynn about this thing. Show, by the way, will start at 11. So I tell you what, everybody, have yourself a great day. I will catch you in the morning for your update. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show that way. And become a patron on Podbean, too, all right? It's a chance for you to qualify for some pretty cool giveaways that are coming up. Grand Cities, what a wonderful place, right? Well, Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again.